I did insist that the soldier be informed of what he was fighting for. At first, they prepared pamphlets, very well prepared by experts from the colleges and all. But I found that, as a rule, they were presented after lunch, and the man was tired, and he went to sleep. The company officer that was explaining the thing was a very poor actor or performer, and I called in Frank Capra, the leading motion picture director at that time, and had him prepare the films, which were a complete education, I think, on the war, to civilians as well as to the recruits in the Army. And I had to do it, you might say, on the QT. I never allowed the Secretary of War to see it or the White House to see it until we had it finished. I was raising an army, and I required that every soldier see that before he left the United States. And I think, remember the reports they gave me, the millions that saw it. Mr. Churchill got a hold of them and showed them all over England, and even prepared and delivered a introduction to the films. I think they're one of the best educational setups that I've ever seen, and they were very interesting, and they were done very expertly. They were amusing, they were serious, they were tremendous in their scope. I remember I took Mrs. Churchill over to see one that hadn't yet been released, and I would only do it on the basis that she would not mention it to anybody at the White House. And Field Marshal Dill took her up, and I went up to the little War Department projection room in the Pentagon, and she looked at this thing. She cried, she laughed, she was just thrilled to the last, and just begged me to let the Prime Minister see it. Well, I said, I can't exact a promise from the Prime Minister, and I don't want him to speak to the President because I'm not ready for the President to see it yet. And to put it frankly, I wanted to get on the road because I knew it would be called in and we would fool around for a month or two to try to get the thing fixed up. And time was golden with me, and that had to be gotten out as fast as possible. Well, she promised me. And then she went over there and got to talking to Harry Hopkins, and they told the Prime Minister, and he got right on the phone and demanded, Hopkins got on the phone and said that the Prime Minister wanted to see it. I said he can't. And then the Prime Minister got on the phone, and Mr. Roosevelt was out of town at Hyde Park at the moment, and Mr. Churchill wanted to see this right away. Well, I said, I'm sorry, Mr. Churchill, because I don't want that to get out till it's ready, because I'll have all sorts of trouble with it if it does. And there were a series of these pictures, you see. And when you got it into the White House and a thing like that, you just never got it back. As I say, time was golden with me. And I was perfectly confident of what I had, that Capra in each case had done a superb job. They could use those things yet for great historical purposes. Anyway, Mr. Churchill came on and said he wanted it right away. Well, I said, Mr. Churchill, I'm sorry, but I can't give it to you. Well, he said, I'm asking you. Well, I said, I know you are, Mr. Churchill. And I know you're the Prime Minister of the British Commonwealth. And you're a guest of the President. But he hasn't seen it, and you're not going to see it ahead of him. Well, he said, when are you going to show it to him? I said, when it's finished. It isn't finished. I'll never get it finished if I get involved in this circuit that you are proposing. Well, he said, I want very much to see it, Marshal. Well, I said, if you will swear to me that you will not mention it to the President or anybody else. Mrs. Churchill promised me that, and then she went and mentioned it to you or Harry Hopkins. But if you will promise me that you won't mention it to anybody else, I'll send it over there for a private showing for you. Well, he said, I think you can hardly exact a promise from the Prime Minister of the British Empire that you just referred to. Well, I said, I can't, but I'll just not send the picture. That's the way to do it. I won't send it over. Well, he came back and he said, well, you got me there. I'll have to wait till the President gets back. Well, I said, if you tell him, you break a promise there. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have this thing stalled by that sort of a procedure. I said, even the Secretary of War hasn't seen it, because I knew if I got all these people into it, I'd never get it done. And Capper's a great expert, and he had all the data, and he made up the thing, and I'm for it the way he's got it. Of course, there were a whole series of these pictures, the prelude to war, and then the things on the various countries, and they were beautifully done to educate our men who were going into these countries. Well, anyway, I sent it over, and Churchill had it, And then Churchill immediately sent back, and he wanted to take it to England. Well, I said, you can't do that till the president sees it. Well, I said, I'm going to hurry it up. Well, I said, it's the last damn thing you'll ever get from me if you do try to hurry it up. I'm doing a job, and you're interfering. I'm doing a job, and you're interfering. I remember I repeated it twice. Well, he said, you certainly are stubborn. Well, I said, I'm not half as stubborn as you are, but I'm not going to get this out. I said, I'm very, very fond of Mrs. Churchill. I admire her greatly, but I'll never forgive her for telling you, because I might have known that this would happen. Well, that's the way we got into this thing. And I didn't send it over to Mr. Rosenberg for quite a long time. And they kept it 4 months. But meanwhile, 3 million troops had seen it. I wouldn't let it go until 3 million men had seen it.